All right, tonight I'd like to continue our thinking about the Holy Spirit. You remember that Sunday morning we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And I would like to just consider some verses that talk about what we should do by or in the Spirit. By or in the Spirit. We'll look at some verses tonight like that. You can begin turning, if you will, to Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. While you turn there, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, I want to tell you of an event that took place in our church in Pennsylvania, in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, in 2005. There was an old couple there named Warren and Dottie Stamen. Just love the Lord. Gave him their lives, and they served him as in jail ministries and every way that the Lord gave them opportunity. Loved to pray with him, just a wonderful, godly older couple. And Warren and Dottie left our church one Sunday morning. It was very snowy. And in Pennsylvania, there was always a little ice as well, and the roads were very slick. And so they were headed home after a Sunday morning church service, and the roads were already slick. The precipitation had stopped, but it was kind of freezing over. And I was outside the church and listening as Warren pulled out of the end of our driveway onto the main road, and it sounded like a race car. He must have had the pedal to the metal out there, and his tires were spinning. Now, he wasn't trying to hot rod, but Warren couldn't hear well. His car was not moving, so he just pushed a little harder to get it going. And, of course, the wheels were spinning. That happened in the morning. Sunday night came along, and wouldn't you know it, Dottie and Warren were back at church on Sunday night. Faithful, always there. After the service, they left the church. I was aware of when they left. About 20 minutes later, I left. I left the church. And on my way home, I thought to myself, you know, it was about 20 minutes after they left. And I thought, I hope they made it home well, that they didn't have an accident. And so I decided, I had a cell phone, and I decided on my way home that I would give them a call. And I didn't get an answer. It had been about 23 or 4 minutes probably since they had left the church. So I got home and I couldn't get it off my mind that they didn't answer. I tried again. I still didn't get an answer. And I said to Mary Jean, I need to go and just drive down toward their house. They lived probably 5 miles from the church, maybe 4 or 5 miles. And so Ben and I, my younger son, got in the car and we headed toward the Stamens. When we got there, we pulled up behind their car, and my headlights shone on them. And he had pulled right in the front of, they lived just far from me to that door there off of the road. And the car was stopped there, and there was a snowbank of kind of packed and hard and frozen precipitation there, maybe 30 inches high or 24 inches high. And they had been walking over it. And so Dottie was getting out of the car. And when she did, she stepped on that bank and her feet slid out from under and went under the car. So she was half under the car and half out. Warren was sort of panicky. He got out of his car. And when I pulled up, he was pulling on her and she would get about halfway out and she'd try to take a step and slide back under the car. It was a terrible situation. I rushed over calling his name and her name. And when I got there, Ben and I picked Dottie up, just got under her arms, and we pulled her up. She wasn't hurt, praise the Lord. We got her on firm ground and helped her in. And Warren turned around and said, "Who are you?" I had my hat on and we were, you know, dressed up because it was really cold that night. And I said, "I'm Pastor Danny, Warren." "Oh, Pastor Danny," he said, "I thought you were an angel. I thought you were an angel." It's a really interesting time. I went back praising the Lord that I had gone. I don't know what would have happened. They were kind of off the beaten path there and kind of on the end of a road. I want to ask you, do you think the Spirit of God prompted me to go there? Okay. The Bible tells us that we should be led by the Spirit. Okay, I want you to see Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. I tell you what, before we actually look at that, let me just tell you there are other prepositional phrases. We should walk in the Spirit. We should be led by the Spirit. We should walk in the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:16 and 25. And we should pray in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 28 and Jude 20. And so there are those phrases in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in the Spirit, by the Spirit, and in the Spirit again. Pray in the Spirit. It seems obvious, does it not, that if these things are going to be realized in our life, then two things need to happen. First of all, the Spirit must somehow communicate to us how we should walk or live or pray or be led. Those are the same words used in the verses we're going to look at. The Spirit has to somehow communicate with us if He's going to lead us. Is that correct? Or if we're supposed to pray in the Spirit or live by the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, He has to communicate. And secondly, another thing has to happen is we have to be obedient to what He communicates. Right? Now, the big question is how does the Spirit of God communicate with us, with you and me? What should we expect from Him? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit or to pray in the Spirit? How's this communication? How is it accomplished? And I want us to take a look at these scriptures. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." They're led by the Spirit. They're the sons of God. Every text has a what? Has a context. It's in a context. Now, we're not going to study the context of all of these, but let it suffice to say that we need to listen to the Spirit of God who lives within us. And in the context, it is in opposition to or in contrast to us listening to the flesh. We can listen to the flesh. We can be led by the flesh. Or we can be led by the Spirit. Both of them are within. Is that right? We have that old nature that wants to do the wrong thing and a new nature that wants to do the right thing. The Spirit of God lives within and He communicates, but so does our old nature. And this passage is saying those that listen to the Spirit, they do what the Spirit rather than what the flesh tells them to do. The flesh sort of helps us put it into context. How does our flesh speak to us? It's in our conscious mind, right? Our thinking. It's our way of thinking. And I want to do that. My flesh wants that. But the Spirit of God might communicate something, but you know you shouldn't do that. Contrary to what the flesh wants us to do. We need to be led by the Spirit. Or I could say this context is that we should listen to the Spirit of God rather than to our old nature flesh. Okay? Let me ask you to turn to the Galatians passage, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. We'll also glance at verse 25 here in the same context. This passage tells us to walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We're not going to do a detailed study about the Greek language, but just kind of glance at the context here. Verse 16 says, this is Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." How would we fulfill the lust of the flesh? Well, our flesh wants to do certain things. And our flesh cries out, "Look at it. Go ahead, look at it." Our flesh says, "Go ahead, buy it." Our flesh says, "You need that." Our flesh works like that in our conscious mind. "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Well, walking in the Spirit, what does that mean? Before I answer, let's look at verse 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Walk in the Spirit. Walking means it's sort of a metaphor of us living our lives, going through lives. We walk in the Spirit. We live our lives in the Spirit, listening to Him. This is not a mystical thing, which is important, I believe. We're always thinking, and people are bragging about, the Lord said to me. When somebody says, the Lord told me, I always sort of back up a step and listen carefully. If what the Lord told them is not communicated in the Word of God, then we need to be careful that we don't go there. Because the Lord might tell this person one thing according to their testimony, and this person over here something quite the opposite. So we need to be careful using. I don't use the words the Lord told me. I just decided that's not the best. If the Lord told me, then I probably have a Bible verse for it. You remember my illustration to start with, the stamens? Did the Lord tell me to go? Now, we'll think about that just a minute. I'm not trying to suggest that the Lord had nothing to do with it. I don't want you to get that idea. But there was no voice from heaven. It just happened in my thoughts. Why? Because I love the stamens. I'm their shepherd. I want to take care of my sheep. Is that a good thing? Where did I learn that? It's in the Word of God. See, what the Spirit communicates is always in keeping with what's in the Word of God. I've got a neighbor that's not saved. The Spirit of God may not say to me, if you'll go over there, I'll save them right now. But the Spirit of God may bring into my mind, you know, you have that unsaved neighbor and you've got some time right now. No, he doesn't say that audibly, does he? But I'm capable of those thoughts because I'm thinking God's thoughts after him. I love my neighbor. I don't want them to go to hell. It's been on my mind. It's been on my heart for a while. And, you know, if I don't tell them, who will? You see, that's not mystical, is it? But the Spirit of God communicates the principles and the precepts, the ideas that are in the Word of God. And that's the way He leads us, I believe. Let's look at our context here. It's not a mystical thing. Scofield says this in the Scofield Notes. The problem of the Christian life is based on the fact that so long as the Christian lives in this world, he is, so to speak, two trees. The old tree of the flesh and the new tree of the divine nature implanted by the new birth. And the problem itself is how to keep barren the old tree and how to make full fruitful the new tree. The problem is solved by walking in the Spirit, he says. The idea is God the Spirit, he's in us and he affects our thoughts. He reminds us of the Scriptures and the principles and the precepts. This is the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit of God. And God will use the word and the principles and the precepts. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And this book here is God's way of communicating with us. And the Spirit just... He saturates our conscious mind, if we're willing. He saturates our conscious mind with what we ought to do. We ought to be busy serving the Lord. What could I do for the Lord today? I got that from the Word. The Spirit of God's just using the Word to remind me, you've got some responsibilities today. You know, this day is the Lord's. You've given the Lord your body as a living sacrifice. You've been renewed in your mind, and you're thinking His thoughts after Him. These are things that the Spirit of God continually keeps in our fore here so we can respond to Him. If He can control our thoughts, He can control our actions, right? If He can insert thoughts and we listen, if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if we're listening, if we want Him to communicate to us and we're trying to remember God's thoughts, the Spirit of God will help us to remember them and it will affect everything we do. It will affect what we eat and how we eat and how we raise our children and when we discipline and when we go over to our neighbors and what part we take in the church because we're listening to the Spirit of God. God, the Holy Spirit, wants to be in control of your life. Let's look at another passage here. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And as you turn there, I would say it's a matter of listening to the Spirit of God rather than listening to the flesh. Every time you think to do something wrong, there's a another thought. If you know the Lord as your Savior, there's another thought that says you shouldn't do that. Every time you think to not do something right, there's another thought that says, you know, I ought to be there. I ought to do that. I ought to go. I ought to speak. I ought to open my mouth. I ought to share the tract. Who are we going to listen to? Now, the purpose of tonight in my thinking as your pastor is I don't want you to sit around and wait for something mystical, some hocus pocus, something to happen. I want you to listen to that voice of your conscious mind that the Spirit of God is manifest in. As you hide the Word of God in your heart, He'll use that to keep you from sinning against Him. As you hide the Word of God in your heart, He'll use that to illuminate the path you should walk. And it won't be written in the sky, and you won't have any audible voices ringing in your ear, and you're probably not going to see any visions, and there's probably not going to be printing on the flyleaf of your Bible that wasn't there yesterday. He's going to use the Word of God and your knowledge of the Word of God to direct you. So another thing I could just put in this little plug for is we need to know this book. I spend time every day trying to memorize, and I'm terrible at memorizing, to be honest. I'm trying to memorize the same verses. I've been trying to memorize them. I just keep adding to them. I take some new verses and forget some old ones. So I have to go back and memorize those. And so I got my verses for Monday and my verses for Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And then I start over with my Monday verses on Friday. I can't go all the week. I got about 4 days. Brothers and sisters, it is amazing what God will do with the Word of God hidden in our hearts. The Spirit of God will use the Word of God to direct our paths. As I speak, I think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. What does the Bible say of this man? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. And that it's amazing contrast. The ungodly are not so. Well, what do they not do? Well, they delight in the ways of the world. They sit in the seat of the scornful. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff driven, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Almost all of those verses, the context, those Psalms, it mentions the Word of God and how the Word of God is a part of what we are. Without the Word of God, we don't know what God wants us to do. We don't know how to think about things. If my loved one dies, well, I know how to think about that because the Bible tells me that I don't have to sorrow as others that have no hope. Look at these last verses. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You don't need to turn, but Jude 20 says, But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray in the Holy Ghost is what it says. It's not talking about rote memory. You know, praying prayers from memory. Do you ever do that? I catch myself so often praying the same phrases without thinking. It's just sort of my pet phrase to pray to the Lord. I won't tell you what they are. You probably have them too if you pray. Those pet phrases. And when you catch yourself, apologize to the Lord. You're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be thinking His thoughts after Him. We're supposed to be allowing the Spirit to control our minds as we talk to our God. The Spirit of God, we should get to know Him. Don't be afraid of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, who leads us in accordance with the Word of God. Our prayers should not be, they should not be rote. They should not be memorized prayers without thought, but in keeping with the thoughts that are inspired. I don't mean in the same sense of God breathed, but that we're inspired to think by the Spirit of God who lives within. Our prayers should be in keeping with what the Spirit of God teaches us and regularly communicates to our heart. We should pray according to that. So we're talking about what it means to be led by the Spirit. It does not mean that we will hear voices, dream dreams, and see visions. It does not mean that we will realize some subliminal message. A subliminal means that it's below the threshold of our sensation or our consciousness. It's like a person says, well, I don't know how I know it. I just know it. No, don't look for that. I know because it's in the Word of God, because the Spirit of God teaches this as I read the Word of God. That's how I know. It will not be that we will discern some spiritual omen. You know, this, I don't know how many times I've talked to, especially ladies, and they predicted the future based upon what some event that took place today. We had a lady down in Sanford who was that way. She was looking for God to show her a sign. And she lived that way. That's not how it's supposed to work. One commentator says believers are not led through subjective mental impressions or promptings to provide direction in making life's decisions. That's a pretty strong statement. The impressions that we have are the Spirit's impressing upon us some revealed truth of the Word of God. Well, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? It means that if I surrender to God's Word, to His will, to His ways, His Spirit will be able to direct my thoughts and therefore affect my actions. Not in some supernatural, mystical way necessarily, but through the natural thought processes. I'll think like God does, and His Spirit can bring spiritual truths to my mind that will influence the choices that I make, the decisions. Consider these verses. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. If we delight in what the Lord delights in, He'll be delighted to give us what we're delighting in. Is that right? If what makes us happy is what makes Him happy, it will be easy for Him to bless us. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It does not require some subliminal message, but simply trust the Lord that His ways work. And then seek them out. Seek out the Lord's ways. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And then we minister to one another because we're filled with the Spirit. But what is this all about? Let me say it plainly. The Spirit of God lives in you. He wants you to do right. And He'll bring the biblical principles to mind, even if it's not attached to a verse that you remember, but you know the principle. You know you shouldn't or you should do that thing. And the Spirit of God is telling you in your conscious mind, you should do this. On the other hand, the flesh is over here, and the flesh says, boy, that would be fun. I would sure like to see that. I would sure like to go there. I would sure like to have that thing. I would sure like to talk to that person. I would surely like to whatever it might be. And the flesh is saying one thing, and our spirit, the Spirit of God within us, is saying another, and everything He's saying is in conjunction with the Word. So, back to my illustration, did God have anything to do with me going to rescue Dottie Stamen that night? I would say yes, He had everything to do with it. But nothing happened that could not be explained away. If I told somebody what I thought and what I did, they would say, well, that's logical. But I believe that the Spirit of God caused me to remember the Stamens. and that I was their pastor and, you know, I should be responsible for them. They had no family in the area, and I loved them. I wanted to do the right thing, and so I went to check on them. Did the Spirit of God tell me to go there? Well, I choose to believe that because I was in tune with the Lord that night. And through very natural thought processes, He led me to go to the stamens. But there was no audible voice, no lights in the sky. No lights in the sky. I love the stamens. And I wanted to be sure that they were at home. I'm their pastor. I was concerned for their safety. Why? Because I'm supposed to be. We should care one for another, right? We should love and purpose the good of another. So just doing what God's word says made me want to go and check on the stamens. Does that make sense? Now, if I told that story right, you should be now thinking, or we should be saying, isn't He a great God? And you should not be thinking, isn't He a great pastor? You should be thinking about our great God, whose principles and precepts and what He has made us to be in Christ, the recreation, our new birth. We're born and old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we look at individuals and we look at circumstances different, tinted by what the Spirit of God reminds us of from this book. You want to give the Spirit of God more to work with in your life? Get more into the book. The book is the living Word of God. It's powerful, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, it says. It'll do a work if we'll hide its words in our hearts. The Spirit of God will use it to prompt our minds when there's something we ought to do. He'll remind us that, hey, your neighbor's unsaved. So does the Spirit of God talk to us? Yeah. But not in a mystical way. Don't look for an omen. Don't look for a sign. Just listen to the voice of your own conscious mind as the Spirit of God reminds you of what you ought to be and what you ought to do. It's pretty simple, isn't it? And we're all familiar with those voices in our mind. We need to be listening to the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. We'll do this and God will bless us. And as we exercise our spiritual gifts that we're learning about on Sunday morning, as we exercise our spiritual gifts, this will be of vast importance, will it not? We'll need to do this. We'll need to be led by the Spirit if we're going to be used of the Spirit as we exercise our gifts. Let's bow forward a prayer. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to share these thoughts tonight. Lord, I pray that they'll not be confusing to anyone and helpful to everyone. I pray, Lord, that our folks will not sit around and wait for You to move them somehow, some mystical or magical or supernatural way, but Father, that we'll listen to Your Spirit as He says, You ought to be there. Or You ought to do that or not do the other. Father, I pray that I might be obedient to Your Spirit. And it might be evident as we together desire to walk in the Spirit, Lord, that it might be evident one to the other of our efforts, of our desire. And may it spread, Lord, like a revival fire in our hearts. Help us to do and be what we ought to be, Father. Please, Lord, help the things that You've begun to just blossom. Help us to grow in grace and in knowledge and in love. And Father, use us so that we might hear You say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.